Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Yes, yes.
Good.
Obviously happy because of England breaking their hoodoo.
Yeah, well, let's start with that, KB. Just unbelievable, really. England winning a penalty shootout against Colombia. I've been reading and basking in it for the last couple of... My voice has just come back, I think, really, after shouting myself hoarse a couple of nights ago. It was fantastic, KB. And England look like they could actually do something in this tournament.
Well, I think... first of all, I think, upon reflection, I was sort of shouting at TV a bit when I was watching it the other night. But upon reflection, they did even better than we think, because Colombia sent their team seemed to consist of the thugs from the enforcers from the drug gangs. I've never seen such vicious, premeditated fouling, and I'm surprised the referee didn't send one or two of them off. Some of it was vicious. And then also the play acting. One guy got a kick on the ankle and he rolled over holding his face in agony.
It was staggering, KB. I've got to bring you this, KB, actually, while you're talking about that, because I noticed that this has only just come through this morning, that apparently on Argentine television, Diego Maradona has branded the win over Colombia a monumental theft, saying that we were cheating all the way through.
Maradona?
Yeah.
Is that the man that... punched a ball into the net with his arm.
That's the one, KB. That's the one.
Against us in the World Cup.
Yeah, exactly that man.
But I know also he's been warned about some of his previous remarks. So that's just a decurtity it has been that's trying to gain a bit more belated moment in the sun.
Mm.
No, I mean, the thing is that German TV was very good and very analytical, and it showed replays. Not once, but several times, of every serious incident from different angles. And there was one little fella in the ball came over, he got his head under one of our players' chin, just gently shot backwards with his back of his head. And our guy just collapsed in a heap and got him in the chin. But Maradona is an Argentinian. And what the biggest theft of all, of course, Argentina, when they try to nick the Falkland Islands. So I don't think we need any comments on probity from him. Old fat slob. Moving on.
Let's just comment on England, shall we? Because it's a young team. I mean, we've got a fantastic opportunity now, KB, to get through to at least
the semi-final.
I think
what we have to do now, we now have to expect the FA hierarchy to see what Southgate's trying to do. Not what he's achieved, what he's trying to do. If he hasn't got his contract ready, extend it to 2022. Because he has built a brotherhood of young men, and when you watch him, he treats them as equals. He's the oldest brother of the group, if you know what I mean. Doesn't pull rank, doesn't stand on ceremony about he's the manager. He's as equal, doesn't make any boasts, and his friends, he just keeps talking quietly. Funny enough, I told you so, but I met him at the 2017 Cup Final, and he came across and spoke to me. And I said then that I thought he'd do well, and wished him the best of luck. I think he's doing well. I haven't seen a manager like him probably since Alf Ramsey. It shows how old I am. He's got these young kids working together, and there doesn't seem to be any you know, rank being pulled by one player over anybody else. It's very encouraging. Having said that, obviously very pleased with our result, but then we have to look at our play. For example, I don't know if you noticed, but when Colombia got their last-minute equaliser, there were three yellow shirts up in the air for the ball, not one red one. So the guy that scored the equaliser had an unchallenged, unhampered, clear head at the ball, which he put in the net. Where was our defence? Which suggests that we've got to look at our set plays. And one of the other things that we've got to improve on, what we did while we got the ball, the amount of the defence, and then having run into three, and therefore created great spaces either side, the guy tries another move, and of course loses the ball. There were a number of occasions when we gave the ball away, when in possession. So we've got to work on those. But no doubt that Southgate, having got them back and had them rested, did a bit of light training. Now get some hopefully sits them down and watches the replay of the game. Everybody can then see where they were and what they didn't do right. And in case of arguing, but discussion, make sure they don't repeat it again. Given that, then we should go through.
Fingers crossed, KB. Fingers crossed. It could happen. Talking some Leeds United, KB, as well. There's not much going on, but they have made their first signing. Marcelo Bielsa's brought in a young Chelsea player on loan for the rest of the season. Lewis Baker has signed on. He spent a bit of time up at Middlesbrough, but quite an exciting young prospect.
Yes, he'd been interviewed, actually, in the press, which I've just been reading. And it sounds like he's got his feet on the ground, which is important. And also I gather that Leeds have got an option to buy him at the end of the season for a fixed price. So that's an interesting deal, because if he doesn't make it, then it hasn't cost him anything other than his wages. If he does make it, he might have got a good bargain. And he's young enough to have a good season in the Championship, which will hopefully give him good experience for when we go back in the Premiership.
Yeah, it could be an exciting start of...
There's not going to be much movement on anything in domestic football until after the World Cup.
Yeah, it'll be
so quite
slow.
All the papers and the TV's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
You can understand. It also means all the key people you want to negotiate with, players you want to talk to, they're all on the holidays.
Or
in Russia.
Yeah, it does make it difficult, I would imagine.
So that, you know, you can't expect much activity for the next 3 weeks. After that, it'll all burst into flames. Hopefully.
I think Leeds fans hope that, KB, no doubt about that. Into other news, let's start with the NHS. It's the NHS's 70th birthday today, KB. I think most of us have used all of us have used the NHS over the course of our lives, and it's a fantastic thing that we've got. You know, you can criticise the NHS for certain bits and pieces, but we'd rather have it than not have it, I suppose, KB.
Oh, yes. But I'm not sure that we want to have it in the form in which we've got it at the moment. Excuse me. What's interesting, I've just read an article in which compares the British NHS with the German NHS. Now, the Germans look after 20 million poor people than the British. They have over 40 doctors per head. Britain only has 28. And yet the entire head count in the German NHS is less than those employed in the UK. They got more doctors and more nurses, but less administrators, supervisors, consultants and advisors. So it's no good just throwing money in the NHS. You've got to make sure it's being spent properly. And also, the heads of the various trusts seem to be overpaid for the job they do. And we should see more cutting down on that. And then we have to make sure our money is being spent wisely on purchases. There have been examples in the newspaper over the last couple of months, because the debate about the NHS has been ongoing for some time now, where we've been paying £2.50, for example, for a pair of rubber gloves that cost 32p. And they're very inconsistent purchasing departments in various areas of the NHS. One has to ask why. And also, to be fair, they've already started, we should be tightening up on unnecessary operations and services. For example, you should see the feminists. I don't understand why ladies can have breast reductions on the NHS. I wouldn't have thought that's what it was established for. And also IVF. This is supposed to be an organisation to look after and nurture this country's citizens who are in need of proper medical assistance. The other thing we should do in practice is, for example, here the A&E is subjected to overcrowding and overloading, particularly on Saturday nights, when a drunk guy, sometimes brought him A&E, supported by eight or ten of his friends. We should have guards, security people at the entrance of A&E, turning away his friends and just taking in the injured person. A bit too much violence in the hospital on Saturday nights. And some people go to the A&E, they should have gone to the doctors. Another thing we should be stopping is disgrace where people just don't turn up for appointments. Well, they should be penalised in some way. Either refuse their next appointment, or made to pay a fee. And, of course, tourists who come over for medical tourists, healthcare tourists, they should be treated in their own country. There was that terrible example, extreme example, of a woman came over from Nigeria, heavily pregnant, to visit her sister. They had quintuplets and went home without paying a penny. Turns out her husband's a millionaire. Multi-millionaire. But you have to ask yourself, why did the airline allow her on the plane in the first place? I thought they wouldn't do it normally, where people advance that pregnancy. So there's lots of clean. I mean, I think people are fairly happy to see the NHS properly funded and don't complain of the extra money being raised, albeit by taxation. But they're in return, it's got to be a deal here, in return, they want value for money. After all, most people work hard for their money. You can see it's squandered by a state quango. They should treat the money given to them as carefully as if it's their own. That will go a long way towards solving NHS problems altogether.
Well, Well, moving on, KB, and something that's caught your eye in the papers is this story that's been doing the rounds about the man known as Nick, who falsely accused VIPs of child murder, rape, torture. He's been charged yesterday with perverting the course of justice.
Well, this is a perfect example of something I've been talking about earlier. If a person makes, and it's the same in rape cases, when you get some child who raped by some unknown woman whose identity is protected for legal reasons, whatever that means, then it turns out the woman made it up. Meanwhile, we have a young man committing suicide, losing their jobs, having their lives ruined. And I'm afraid the police are totally at fault here. They spent over £2.5 million of public money, taxpayers' money, investing all these spurious claims. One man died without being cleared. His widow was harassed by the police before they finally made a totally unsatisfactory apology. Harvey Proctor lost his job and his house after his falsely accused. This man's a fraudster and a liar. And if convicted, he should go to jail for a very long time. And a public inquiry should be held into the conduct of the police and the senior police officer who authorised all that. And I believe he, of course, has since been promoted. If there are serious crimes being committed, they need to be investigated. But not on one person's say-so. Which idiot in the civil service ordered this man £22,000 out of the public purse and out of his hip pocket before any of the cases had been substantiated? Another blot on the civil service's record of running the country. This fellow, whose alias is Nick, should be made to confront the people he accused face to face and look them in the eye. And that applies to all criminals, no allegations. Either they've got to be substantiated, and be the person who's got to be prepared to stand up and name it. Look at that terrible case, which I mentioned before, of Davy Jones, a former Southampton manager, who's when he was a social worker in Liverpool, big Liverpool prison, whose name I can never remember. He and three or four others were accused by a gang of convicted criminals of sexual abuse, because the idea was to get money out, compensation off the compensation board. Total lies. Case collapsed. I think they got extra time. Meanwhile, Jones had his career ruined for a long time, which wasn't helped by the morons who gave him abuse at Hillsborough when Leeds played them a few years ago, to which I wrote a personal apology on behalf of the club and the decent Leeds fans. Now these things, these accusations becoming more and more prevalent, and the police have to stamp down with them. And then they should prosecute. If it's found out that somebody is falsely accused somebody, and knowing it was false, they should be prosecuted and sent to jail. It's got to stop. It's not fair.
Okay.
are all citizens of the state. We should do our duty accordingly. But equally, we are entitled to protection and rights from that very same state. I gather this gentleman, if I can call him that, is due to appear court on 2nd of September. Let's make sure it's the 2nd, not the 3rd. Get this thing out of the way. As a deterrent to all other would-be liars or opportunists. We'll get a few bob here. 50 years of age. Nice little earner. 40, 50 grand tax-free in the end. Woo-hoo. Peter Bell and crime doesn't pay. So, what else is happening in God's own county?
Well, it's beautifully sunny, KB. We've got wonderful weather, which is obviously very, very happy. Finally, obviously, we'll touch on a bit of Brexit because this post-Brexit customs arrangements, Downing Street source has come out in the last couple of days saying they're going to be a significant step forward. This proposal is going to be presented to ministers on Friday and is going to offer the best of both worlds. I suppose it's sort of we'll see it when we believe it, I suppose.
Who said that?
A government spokesperson.
Oh. Yeah. Is that the same one that leaked stuff to the Guardian and the BBC?
It could be, Kevin.
Yeah, you know. Well, there's only one way to have a Brexit. There's one good sign today, this week, when I gather the government have told Minister Gove, told the fishermen they're going to get a 200-mile cordon, fishing cordon around Great Britain, where no foreign boats will be allowed to fish or land their catches in English ports. So, obviously, he reads our website, Darren, because we've been saying that for some months now. He should now extend it, but saying the same thing applies to all our farmers. Because although we'll never be self-sufficient in food, we can greatly increase it. Why buy French milk when we can buy Yorkshire milk, Lancashire milk, Scottish milk, Welsh milk, and any other place where we produce milk? Quotas out the window. Now, I'll give one small example of EU incompetence. When I was a dairy farmer in the 1980s, they introduced, because they're overproducing milk in Europe generally, they introduced a quota system. In other words, they cut down the amount of milk each farmer was allowed to produce. Some farmers went out of business because of it. I moved quickly, bought another farm when prices were depressed, got the milk quota with it, put it onto mine. That gave me 1.5 million a year, litres a year, so the farm was viable. But the EU declared that milk quotas were an asset, could be bought and sold. Obviously, that's why I bought the other farm and merged it with mine. But at one stage, those quotas were being sold at far more prices, and because it was a capital gain, they organise it, it was tax-free. So the poor bloody farmer was working his guts out, and his cow's guts, trying to produce milk at 10, 12p a litre. People paying 50 or 60p a litre, and the farmers were selling the quota, and getting a tax-free sum, a capital sum. Mad. Created an awful lot of wealthy farmers. Wouldn't like to mention who was included in that lot, but the fact about it was wrong, is inequitable. But they made the law. A lot of people took advantage of it. And that's one of the reasons we've got to get out of the EC and PDQ. Because all these idiots in Brussels and of course once a month Strasbourg, making his rules and regulations being made by people who have no knowledge of how the real world works, and putting an even heavier burden on the people that do produce the wealth and do feed and clothe the majority of the world. I could want to recommend a book. It was given to me in 1967. It was written by a Russian woman, who was a refugee from communism. And she wrote it in the 1930s. Her name was Ayn, A-Y-N, Rand, R-A-N-D. That book's still being printed. It's called Atlas Shrugged. Atlas Shrugged. It's still in print, because Susanna bought a dozen copies last month. It's very good reading. It's fiction. It's obviously a fiction. This particular has never happened, but it's based on the facts of how there's so many people live off the people at the bottom who create the wealth. In this book, the wealth producer cracked under the weight of the parasites on top of him. Worth reading. Even the most fervent socialist should read it. Brexit, we're on a tough one. When the children go on there to go and get stuffed. And this is now the time to start putting the pressure, because the various countries in Europe have got their own problems, of which migration is only one. Italy have just started for an extension on the IMF loan they received when they were going bust. 6 month extension, because they can't pay on time. And the new Italian Prime Minister is saying he's going to revolutionise the tax system and sweep away restrictive practices. Greece, of course, is a basket case, with 50% of its youth unemployed. 55.0% unemployed. And the Europeans need us as much as we need them, if not more. So Mr. Garnier should have his bluff called. All bullies have to have their bluff called, and they've got nothing to do in return. Say, this is what we're doing, and you can lump it, like it or lump it, bye-bye. And every one of our consulates around the world should, at this stage, be talking to the government of the country they're in, discussing trade deals. Can't stop us doing it. It's like spying. It's not supposed to be legal, but everybody does it. So the fact that we are forbidden by EEC law to negotiate and say, well, can we get stuffed? Because we were told we're leaving. What are they going to do if we get on with it? Fine us? All we have to do is stop making the payments in. Oh, and by the way, one last thing you might like to know. Apparently they're planning although it's only 25 years old, they're planning a brand new head office for the European Union in Brussels. It's going to be a magnificent structure, and paid for by all 28 members. Well, just 27. Banier shares 57 million. So we don't need to pay that, do we? Perhaps we can give that to the armed forces to bump up their defence budget. Another interesting thing, keep going, getting my. You always sort of offers positive support to the allegedly the right side in all these problems in the Middle East. But I don't read much. England do a lot, Britain does, UK does a lot, France does a bit, but I don't see Germany doing much, or Austria or Italy. Or Spain, or Portugal. Perhaps we should take lead from at the moment our fellow Brexit EEC people and do what they do. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Charity begins at home. And look after his first. And that lovely Yorkshire saying. Two lovely Yorkshire sayings. Self first, self last. Anything over, self again. I mean, if that does it, that ain't for nothing, do it for the self. That should be the British slogan as well as Yorkshire's. Yorkshire lead, others follow.
Wise words, KB, to probably end this week's chat. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch up again next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.